Welcome to the SG Engage podcast, where it's all social good all the time. Sit back and relax as the brightest minds from across the social good community engage with trends, big ideas, and best practices to help you drive impact.
Welcome to the SG Engage podcast. I'm Rachel Hutchison of Blackbaud, and I'm here today with one of my new colleagues, Dustin Jost, with Your Cause, a Blackbaud company. Welcome, Dustin.
Thanks, Rachel. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, so Dustin, tell us a little bit about yourself before we jump into the topic for the day.
Sure. So here at Your Cause, my role is to oversee the growth of our Global Good Network. And that is the network of corporations, their employees, and the nonprofits that they connect to. And really what we're trying to do is build the largest network of do-gooders to go out and make a meaningful impact in the world. So I've been with Your Cause for about 7 years, starting when we were about 15 or so employees, and have overseen our growth ever since then. Outside of Your Cause, I'm really passionate about a handful of local nonprofits, Social Venture Partners Dallas, as well as the Tony Hawk Foundation, because skateboarding played a pivotal role in my early upbringing. And then I also have a little golden retriever and a 9-month-old son that keeps me quite busy.
Well, it is really great to have you on the SG Engage podcast. As you know, and our listeners may know, I run corporate social responsibility here at Blackbaud. And so I was really excited about having Your Cause join the Blackbaud family. And I'm also excited about this thought leadership piece that you have coming out called the CSR Industry Review. And it's something I think you've done for, this might be your 7th year. And it really has some wonderful information in it. So first off, tell us, where does the data come from for the report?
Yeah, you know, and Kathy, our director of marketing, who works very closely with you here at Your Cause, early on when we were looking at what is our marketing strategy within Your Cause, we realized that there's such a need to share data and best practices and trends amongst our client base and the market overall. I think what we always saw was that CSR practitioners and philanthropy officers within corporations, they can sometimes be very siloed. They may be one of the only people within their organizations that does what they do. And we're fortunate here at Your Cause to now have 350 plus clients and nearly 8 million employees in our network. And that gives us a lot of data to candidly just nerd out on. So we were answering all of these questions from prospects and clients about different trends and best practices around matching gift programs, around international philanthropy, dollars for doers, and overall employee engagement. And so we took a look under the hood and said, we've got some great data. And so Cassie has led the development of our industry review. And like you said, we're in our 7th year. So this year was a really exciting year for us because we fundamentally changed the type of data that we were looking at and the way that we as a company were accessing that data. So this specific report references data from about 108 participating clients, and that covers 3.7 million employees. And that's across about 140 different countries. It covers a number of different industries, and as you browse through the industry report, you can see that we've described out each one of those to help you align your company with one of those. But for us, it's really focused on the time period of January 2018 through December 2018. And when I mentioned that we fundamentally changed the way that we were looking at the data this year, it's given us a new foundation upon which we can continue to analyze different trends over time. Using some new tools that our clients even use today to report on their overall CSR programs and engagement, we're using those same tools to be able to start develop year-over-year trends, month-over-month trends, and help CSR practitioners make more informed decisions about their programs based on what other companies are actually doing.
That's great. And for our listening office, audience, this is something that Blackbaud does a lot of. And so it's really great to have Your Cause in the fold with us, where we look at data across large data sets and pull out trends and then share that publicly with the market to really understand and put into context the work that you all are doing. So, Dustin, one of the key findings in the report is that volunteerism grew significantly at very large companies, which I believe you define as having more than 100,000 employees. So what do you think drove this?
Yeah, this was a finding that really excited us, just because it was kind of the first time that we materially saw a shift in how employees are wanting to be engaged. And I think this is really a result of the modern workforce. Today, we know millennials and Gen Zs are making up an increasingly larger portion of the workforce. And I think I'm probably preaching to the choir here. We talk about how millennials and Gen Z have a propensity to volunteer as opposed to give in the earlier parts of their career. And that's really just a result of where they are in their own career path. But what's really interesting is if you start looking at the motivations behind why they volunteered or why those who gave chose to give, they have a different sense of purpose. TMI, who powers DoSomething.org, they found that 60% of young people volunteer solely because their friends are volunteering, and that 41% of people who volunteer see it as professional development. And that's a big shift from other workforces that we've engaged and managed in the past. It's now much more about an experience. And I think you can look at this when you look at the fact that millennials and Gen Z no longer have a loyalty to a single nonprofit or even a single cause. You know, by the time millennials reach age 30, they've engaged with 6 to 9 different causes and a number of different charities within those causes. For them, it's much more about the values behind those causes. And so millennials and Gen Z and the modern workforce are truly looking at what are the values behind my philanthropic efforts. And what kind of altruistic feeling do I get out of that? And giving provides a different experience than volunteerism, because volunteerism is truly embedded in an experience. It's something you do socially. It's something that you might get your hands on and be able to develop a skill from it. So I think the sense of purpose that people are no longer working for just money or status, but instead having a deeper sense of purpose in what they do day to day and how their day to day responsibilities, their skills, their talents connect to doing making a larger impact in the world. It's driving this sense of volunteerism and kind of almost this magnetic effect towards employees wanting to do something that's not just whip out their checkbook or their debit card and give, but instead they actually want to see the impact that they're having. They want to have something that's a little bit more tangible in that feeling, and they want to be able to have this story that they can bring back, and whether that's share that story on social media and how that volunteer event made them feel, or be able to have this experience with other colleagues around the impact that they made, it really boils down to this desire for an experience.
There's so much goodness in what you just talked about. I mean, there's so much in there, the focus on purpose and, you know, the desire to really invest in your own professional development through volunteerism. There's so much in there. Couldn't agree with you more. So here's a kind of tactical question for you. So the report says that employees donate 1.7 times more annually via their credit card when a company covers the credit card fees. So this resulted in something like $800,000 more in donations to nonprofits. So what drives that?
Yeah, we're really proud of this one because it's a result of our transparent giving model that we offer, that philosophically, Your Cause was founded on the belief that we're here to maximize employees' generosity and maximize their impact. So we don't want to take a percentage of donations that flow through our platform. So our pricing model, our revenue model as a company is predicated on getting 100% of the donation to the nonprofits. And that's something you don't really find. Even if you were to go give a credit card donation on a nonprofit's website, there's a credit card fee there. And some nonprofits or some donation forms may allow you to cover that credit card fee. But in this case, the corporation is covering their credit card fee and the payment distribution fee. And part of it is we see this as an employee benefit. And if it's an employee benefit, our belief is that a corporation should be in a position to really facilitate that benefit 100% of the way, 100% of the time. But on the flip side of it, I think it's just this desire for transparency. Going back to what I was just talking about in terms of millennials and Gen Z emphasizing the values over just a cause or a nonprofit, the same thing goes towards the transactions, is they see value in transparency. And I think a lot of this is also coming from years of not necessarily having a degree of transparency into where dollars might be going with the nonprofits, but instead, this is an employee knows that their donation is fully going to the nonprofit and that nobody is really taking any from that as it gets transferred through. And I think One of our clients kind of validated this when they did an employee study. It was really a big survey where they asked, why do you give through our workplace giving platform? That's your cause. And they found that 33% of their employees said they give solely because 100% of the donation will get to the nonprofit. And so we've become one of these only destinations that employees can go to get 100% of that donation there. And so it's really rooted in that just belief of transparency and the employees seeing that the nonprofit actually got their check, that it's been deposited, and really knowing how that process works.
Yeah, so every company has new people joining its forces every day of all different ages. And the report pointed to something really interesting about a really exciting way to incent new hires around cause cards. So talk a little bit about that and what your redemption rates are showing.
Yeah, we talk a lot about what the employee journey is. If we're really focused on building this culture of philanthropy instead of just promoting transactional programs, well, you have to take into account what an employee journey looks like. And the employee journey starts with the first time they interact with your company. From a recruiting standpoint, that might be them understanding your company's values as it relates to community relations and philanthropy. But then the first true experience for the employee after that offer letter is when they come in on day one. And some of the most impactful companies that we've seen are able to tie their community relations efforts into that first day experience, where the community relations team can come in and talk about all the exciting opportunities that they provide to their employees to get engaged in the community. But one of the things that some of our best clients do is they incentivize employees to get engaged immediately by giving them a cause card on their very first day. And a cause card for us is like an electronic charitable gift card. So imagine that you're in your first day training and the community relations team has just given you their highlights on the type of grants that they've given over the past year, the volunteer initiatives that they do. And then all of a sudden they have you bust out your mobile phone, and then they have you go to the Your Cause platform, and the first time you log in, then you're greeted with a cause card thanking you for joining the company. What we find is that 87% of employees that receive that cause card on their very first day will come back into the platform within 12 months to give or volunteer with another organization. So this plants the seed of philanthropy that will then follow them through. And I think when we look at how cause cards are used, even after the very first days, our clients have gotten very creative. Some of them have replaced their Starbucks gift cards or their gas gift cards that they use for managerial recognition with these cause cards. Others use it to incentivize other types of philanthropic behavior. Companies that might do Volunteer of the Year awards. Maybe they're given $1,000 cause cards to their employees who win that Volunteer of the Year award. But I think what we're also seeing is how clients are getting smart about utilizing these and creating a sense of urgency upon redeeming these, because we have seen cause card redemption rates increase. And so at a very tactical level, they create that sense of urgency by setting expiration dates on cause cards. They make it timely. They use it to drive certain behaviors in and outside of the platform. And again, now you're placing cause cards at every step of the employee journey as they advance throughout their career, and you're really embedding goodness with every tipping point in their career.
I really love that, you know, that idea that when someone walks in a door, you know, you're not only giving them an opportunity to choose and bond with or give to an organization they care about, which is a wonderful thing, but you're also helping them kind of bond with the company and its culture. You're setting the tone in a really wonderful way about what this company is about. And as you said, there's so many points throughout an employee's journey with a company where you can reinforce that, whether it's on anniversaries or winning awards, et cetera. I think that's really exciting. So another key finding was that companies that offer peer-to-peer fundraising to their employees have a higher than average overall engagement rate with their CSR programs. And I think the study also found that employees engage at a higher rate with programs offering both giving and volunteering versus just one or the other. So any insights around what's going on there?
Yeah, I think there's a few things you can point to. And first, let's look at the type of companies that typically offer peer-to-peer fundraising. And to add some context here, when Your Cause started, this is what we did. We did peer-to-peer fundraising. When we started as a B2C company, it was all about how are we empowering consumers to fundraise from their friends and family members and other consumers for their causes. And as we got into the corporate space 10 years ago, times were a little different. I think non-solicitation policies and communication policies, they were a little little bit tighter. Cultures weren't as open to the concept of sharing. Social media was still becoming a thing within corporations. You look up 10 years later, and this is all very commonplace. And so peer-to-peer fundraising has made a bigger splash within corporate environments as communications teams and legal teams have become more comfortable and maybe put parameters around how do you effectively manage a P2P or a peer-to-peer fundraising campaign. But if you look at the most common types of companies that offer peer-to-peer companies or peer-to-peer campaigns today, a lot of them are tech-forward companies, companies that may have tech-enabled workforces. Even if those workforces aren't sitting in front of a computer all day, they have access to mobile devices. And so they're still connected to the digital landscape of that community. And so with peer-to-peer fundraising, you have now really personalized the experience for employees. Again, another area of context is when we started at Your Cause, it was all about what the corporation is doing. You know, even our platform reflected that. You log into the platform, and at the very top, you would see that United Way campaign, that disaster relief initiative, or that big volunteer week of service. Now, if you look at our platform today, it is all about the individual because our data showed that that's where individuals are going first. They wanted to see their impact. They wanted to see their stats. And that's what P2P does. Peer-to-peer personalizes what fundraising means. So it's no longer just about what the corporation is doing, but now you've given an employee the ability to go fundraise for their particular personal cause, but within the corporate environment. So I think that's where you see a lot of adoption and higher engagement around peer-to-peer giving. I think there's also the fact that people love competition. In some of the biggest peer-to-peer fundraisers we've seen within corporations, they are deeply rooted in competition. And so it's always fun to just see how people are trying to out-fundraise each other. Your other point around the consolidation of giving and volunteering, I think, is interesting because I think this is both driven by an industry shift, but it's also driven by a motivational shift amongst employees. And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with millennials and Gen Z, is the fact that they no longer know they want to just engage through giving or just engage through volunteering, but instead they want to have a number of options to engage. They want to have a holistic engagement experience. Some months or some initiatives, they may feel that their impact can better be delivered through a dollar. At other times, they may feel that their impact can better be delivered through applying their own skills. So by consolidating giving and volunteering programs, you've provided one stop, a one-stop shop for employees to go to engage in whatever programs you offer. You can also think of it in terms of a philanthropic intranet. You know, we find that employees aren't just coming to our platform to log their hours or give a dollar, but instead they want to be educated. They want to understand what opportunities exist and how their employer has made an impact in the community. And so by having all of those stories, all of that content housed in one place, you have one specific hub that powers this philanthropic center of excellence for your company. I think you can also look at the industry shift. Again, when we started Your Cause, giving and volunteering programs were commonly decentralized. We would be talking to one side of the house, and then maybe they would pull in the other side of the house. More often than not, the CSR practitioner that we're talking to either oversees both programs or those two teams are working very closely together. So now this consolidation of giving and volunteering programs allow them to offer more creative campaigns, more creative ways for employees to get engaged, but more importantly, one place to tell their entire story. Even if you look at grant making and how Your Cause has consolidated grant making into the employee giving and volunteering experience, you now have one place to go, one data set to go to understand your impact on a particular organization or a number of different cause areas or sustainable development goals. So it's made it so much more efficient for the CSR practitioners, but also for the employees.
So that's a neat point that you just made, that this is about the individual employees, but it's also about those people who are managing the CSR programs behind the scenes and really equipping them with really great information that, again, helps them be better for their people. And, you know, you talked about, you know, people wanting and needing different ways to express themselves, both through giving and volunteerism. And to me, that I talk about something a lot called voice and choice. Those are kind of my words for it, that people walk into the door of your company today wanting you to ask them what they care about. They want you to listen. So they want that voice. And then they want choice in how they act. They don't want you to just prescribe it to them. And a lot of the data in your report really does point to that, which I think is you know, really important. And I love, by the way, the Philanthropic Center of Excellence. What a great phrase. So
mark that.
Yeah, what a great phrase. So there are so many trends in this report, we couldn't cover all of them. But are there others that you want to just mention and lift up a little bit?
Oh, where to start? You know, I think even some of the themes you and I are talking about, Rachel, today point to some deeper trends that we're going to continue to see. This deeper personalization of programs is really interesting because technology fits right in there. When we look at how machine learning and in artificial intelligence can be applied to the personalization of just about anything, philanthropy is certainly an exciting opportunity, but I think we're very much at the tip of the iceberg on how technology can empower deeper personalization of programs. So as technology gets developed and is enhanced over time, I think CSR practitioners have to stop and think, well, how can I personalize my programs without technology? How can I instead meet employees where they're at? And I think going back to what the employee journey is, more and more we're seeing CSR practitioners map their programs to each tipping point or each inflection point of the employee journey so that they are meeting employees where they're at. Everything from what is that offer to onboarding to then the early development stages, then the career acceleration and retention, and then even alumni. We're seeing increased personalization at every stage there. I think we're also seeing the role of CSR practitioners somewhat shift. And I think every company is different, so you can't make some broad generalizations about this. But if you look at how the shifts that we've seen in the last 10 years, I think a lot of people like to refer to it almost as the death of CSR. But it's not truly the death of CSR. It's instead embedding CSR into everything that a company does. Where we're starting to see this shift is the CSR practitioner is increasingly more and more cross-collaborative. Now, D&I is working with CSR practitioners to drive both the advancement of inclusion, but also the advancement of volunteerism by leveraging each other. And we're starting to see CSR practitioners kind of become the quarterback of all of these different stakeholders. And instead of driving their own program as a CSR practitioner, they're helping these other stakeholders drive programs with just CSR embedded in them. So when we talk about the death of CSR, it's only the death of CSR because it's no longer happening in a silo, but instead it's being embedded throughout the entire organization. I think that D&I collaboration is certainly a trend that we're going to see some very interesting shifts, hopefully powered by technology as well over the next 1 to 2 years. And this goes back to that concept of how are you leveraging already existing groups to drive a broader adoption of what you're offering today. And then finally, one of my favorites as kind of having a marketing background is CSR practitioners that are increasingly serving as the chief marketing officer of their own programs. And I think some CSR practitioners are really fortunate to have internal resources around communications and marketing that they can work with. But what we're really excited about is how we can expose data to CSR practitioners to help them make more informed decisions about how are they even marketing their programs. Today, and if you look in an enterprise environment, it's almost a competition for employee eyeballs, right? And so those who are most effective at getting employees to look at what they're doing, to just come into the platform, to look at their content, they're the ones who are going to see the highest level of engagement. So CSR practitioners are increasingly either working with other stakeholders or arming themselves with their own skills to be able to look at data and understand how effective their communication campaigns are, and then revisiting those the following year to drive further engagement based on what they saw.
It's such a fascinating evolution, even the years that I've been in the world of CSR. And I always, you know, it's giving, it's volunteerism, it's philanthropy, it's CSR, it's purpose. It's like it keeps evolving. And you're right, even if the function is kind of staffed by a smaller team and very entrepreneurial, it really is kind of matrixed across the whole organization. And it's about, you know, being at the heart of everything that company does. I used to say that sometimes CSR programs were treated like they were down the street and around the corner from the actual company. And now they have to really be smack in the middle and in the center of the place. Mm-hmm. So one statistic that you found to be surprising in the report, what would that be?
We've covered some really good statistics. In fact, the two that we talked about are probably the most surprising to me. So there's actually a statistic that you won't see in this report. It was actually in our previous version, but is so exciting for us and really highlights a shift and an opportunity amongst employee engagement that I think it's worth throwing out in this podcast. And that is when all those disasters happened, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Harvey, we launched probably about 130 disaster relief campaigns over the course of 6 to 9 weeks. And we saw some really interesting data around engagement. we found that 67% of donors in disaster relief campaigns were first-time donors. They had never come into the platform and made a donation before. But then when we looked at that data a few months later, we found that 65% of those donors had come back into the platform and given to another organization or volunteered with an organization. So that disaster relief campaign was their first touch point. That was their first interaction with these companies' programs. And of course, we never hope disasters happen. But if you think about what a disaster relief campaign can help you achieve, what you're doing is you're tying your programs back to something that's larger than just the corporation. You know, this is something, a shift that we as the world or society, an event that we are all seeing. And so employees feel they kind of gravitate towards those opportunities that are bigger than just themselves and bigger than just their company. But it's also a time frame to have a concerted communication effort, go out and all collectively come together to try to help this one particular cause. So what we've seen companies start to do with this data is really invest in these seasonal and thematic campaigns. And this goes back to what I was just talking about, being the CMO of your own programs. Well, if you're a CMO, then you have to think about how you're creatively pushing out these communication campaigns, how you're focusing your product or whatever you're marketing onto this one very simple concept. And so that's what a disaster relief campaign allows you to do. So if you just take those same principles and you form these thematic campaigns or seasonal campaigns, for example, Breast Cancer Awareness Month in November, if you do a big campaign around and maybe doing a 2-to-1 match for community partners that support breast cancer awareness, you now have this thematic campaign that employees can all rally around, and you're typically seeing higher degrees of engagement because it helps you engage the unengaged, those employees that haven't come into the platform because maybe they don't have that personal passion or that one organization they feel strongly about, but instead they want to feel like they belong to this bigger effort to help solve some sort of problem. So I think that 67% and 65% around disaster relief campaigns is really interesting. And this year we're going to be looking at a lot of the data around those thematic campaigns to see how it compares.
Just like volunteerism too, different volunteerism opportunities allow people to stick their toe in the water who maybe haven't done it before. And maybe they're going or they're getting involved because their friend or their coworker's doing it. But, you know, it really very much is this employee journey you've been talking about, you know, showing them, getting them engaged, and then having them understand how much it actually feeds them as much as them giving back in the world. It's really kind of a win-win right for everyone. So this is really fascinating, and I know there are a lot of other wonderful findings in the report, including some information on sustainable development goals and giving and volunteerism through that lens, which I find to be particularly interesting. So where can our listeners go to view the full report?
Yeah, if you go to yourcause.com, you'll see it right there on the homepage. But you can also browse previous versions of the report by clicking on the Insights and Resources tab on yourcause.com.
And I am supposed to tell our listening audience that we are also going to include a link to the report in the show notes of this podcast. So that's another resource for you. So, Dustin, thank you so much for joining us for this discussion about the CSR Industry Review. I hope everybody who's listening goes out and gets it. It's a really, really wonderful read. Lots of great insights. And I want to thank our listeners. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the SG Engage podcast. Make sure you don't miss an episode. Make sure you're subscribed and you can hear all the great conversations that we carry on with different people across the social good community. So thanks so much, Dustin. It was great to have you on today.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel. Thanks to all the listeners, and we hope to chat again soon.